Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor to Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales. Jeremy, let's tell the snake that took over the cart and drove it down the highway story first. I'm looking at a photograph of a snake sticking his head out the window, as my Springer Spaniel likes to. Is that what I'm looking at? Snakes like to drive?
Well, John, it turns out that's exactly what they like to do. And where this happened was, nonetheless, up in Queensland, which is pretty much snake central right now. And what it was basically just north of Brisbane, this young lady was driving her car just happily down the motorway, doing about 110, so about 55 miles an hour, just going about her business, when all of a sudden something caught her eye. And at first, she didn't really think too much of it. But then the thing started to, I guess, emanate is probably the word, from really the gap between the bonnet of her car and where her car sort of attaches to it, and started to poke its head out. And lo and behold, John, exactly as you described, it was a carpet snake basically coming out from under a bonnet and putting its head into the windstream and effectively sticking its head out like a dog would sticking its head out of the window. This lady, to her credit, didn't panic. She didn't panic whatsoever. First thing she did, as everybody does, she grabbed her phone, got some photographs, got some videos of the snake poking his head out of her car and just basically eyeballing her at the windscreen. And I know, probably just saying, hey, you're going to pull over, or are we just going to continue? Then eventually she did pull over, and I believe somebody stopped to help her and actually managed to get the snake out of her car. But John, who would have thought that snakes, like dogs, actually enjoy having their head in the windstream? That seemed to actually be enjoying itself. If you have a look at the photo there, if a snake can smile, I think that had a smile on its face.
Everything in Australia is exotic and will try to kill you. Jeremy's told me that you check your car before you get in. You look under the seat. I don't know. Do you have to lift the bonnet up, Jeremy? It looks like it with the extraordinary number of snakes that are coming out. Looking in the engine where it could be warm, looking in the boot, looking in the back seat. I mean, why drive the car, Jeremy? Walk to work.
I'm with you, John. I'm thinking now I might just take the train everywhere I go and just take buses. But you're right. I mean, over the years, we've spoken about it many, many times. The car under the bonnet seems to be an area where snakes tend to gravitate because it is warm, it's very dry, and it's actually kind of cozy for them. But the reality is that here in Australia, you really have to check every part of your car. And I don't think there's a part of the car that we haven't spoken about where there hasn't been a snake found in the last 2 years. So, John, I guess it was inevitable we're going to have a snake pop its head out just under the windshield and eyeball its driver. So, you know what? This is really just par for the course.
The way it goes in Dumbo is I've seen just about everything when I've seen an elephant fly. That's the chorus in the middle of the movie. Now I've seen a blue snake. Have you ever seen a blue snake in the wild, Jeremy?
No. And if there weren't photos of these things, I would not have believed them. And, John, this is just another quirk of nature. And, again, it's in the state of Queensland, which I like to call Snake Central nowadays. And what it actually is it's a coastal carpet python that typically is more at home in the waterways and along the mangroves than it is really in the dry inner parts of Australia. And what apparently makes it blue is actually down to genetics. So it really has nothing to do necessarily with as a protective feature of it or as some kind of unique ornate feature that this snake has generated through its generations of being around. It's just by pure fact that some of these snakes, when they breed, they actually breed a blue pigment into their skin. But it is relatively rare. In fact, people, while they have often reported seeing them in Queensland, nobody's really ever got a good photo of it in recent years until now. So as you can see, that the photos are all online right now. You can have a look in the news. There are actually blue snakes in the Queensland waterways, and they're not dangerous. They're not venomous, luckily enough, although they will give you a nasty bite if you do get too close, but they're actually quite spectacular. So I guess, John, in some ways, while it is a snake, this is a good snake story, and it really tells you that snakes themselves can actually look beautiful, even though, you know, most of them will actually still try to kill you.
I think I read once blue is a color that warns you that there's possibly toxin in the meat. I think I remember that. They learned it when they made a blue M&M, and it's not popular. It wasn't popular. It might be popular now. I'm misremembering all of it. The color blue is in nature. It's in flowers, but hardly ever in creatures.
That's true, John. In fact, we are taught from a very early age in South Australia with fish. Fish in particular, you have the blue ring octopus, you have pufferfish, which have elements of blue in them. And basically we are taught as children that if we see a fish washed up or we're swimming and we see a fish that has what looks like a menacing tinge of blue in it, don't touch it, don't play with it, because it actually does have toxins in it. So what you're saying is actually something we do talk about here as children, but funnily enough, it was never really brought to us when it came to snakes.
All right, Jeremy. Once a python in your toilet, it's a great story. You can dine out on it. But twice, how does the python do this?
I guess, John, only in Queensland once again. This was actually up in Hervey Bay, so it's really about 2.5 hours drive north of Queensland. And it was just a regular suburban home up there. Hervey Bay itself is actually like a mini city now, so it's not even a rural area. And this poor guy, at the beginning of the week, he went to his toilet, found a python curled up in there. He thought, well, unfortunately, I've been unlucky. I've got a python in the toilet. So he managed to get it out and just went about his business. Anyway, that same week, lo and behold, goes to the toilet again. Lo and behold, a second python, possibly the same python, is in his toilet again. So whether or not it's the same python, whether or not he somehow has something attracting pythons to his home, but this poor fellow had to deal with not one, but two pythons in his toilet in the same week, which is probably a first as well. I think we've never actually seen something like this where a python or a toilet's repeatedly had the same guest appear to it. But the second time round, he really took no risks. He took basically everything professionally. He got a snake catcher around. The snake catcher took the python out and removed it to an area where it can't possibly come back to his home and be the same python in the toilet or do any more harm to his toilet. But I might say, too, it was actually a carpet python, so it definitely wasn't venomous whatsoever. But you can imagine, John, they still have teeth. So if he had have sat down or done whatever, you know, that could have done a bit of damage. So I guess this guy's very lucky, but it shows that even in Queensland, we've talked about checking your cars, talking about checking everything around them. You really have to check every part of your home, including your toilet.
I think, Jeremy, that after all these years of reporting on the reptiles of Australia, it's becoming normal to me to deal with a snake when it's not venomous. I mean, Jeremy, it's a snake. All right, fine. It can't kill you in an hour. But still, if there was a toilet anywhere in Connecticut where I live that had a python come twice, not only is the homeowner leaving, the neighborhood would leave. I mean, really, Jeremy. And Australians, are you either casual about this or you just grow up with it? Is that it? People don't run screaming down the street?
Well, honestly, I think we do grow up with it. But quite frankly, while we do, I guess, put on a brave face, I can tell you that this individual himself is probably still, you know, a little bit skeptical about going to the toilet again, for starters. But honestly, every time that in this neighborhood where I live, for example, when we hear of a snake anywhere nearby, the first thing we all do is we check our own backyards. We basically go into almost like a defensive posture the next couple of days after the snake sighting, especially if it's a brown snake or a tiger snake. We are pretty much checking every part. So, I mean, I thank you, John, for saying we look like we're quite, you know, brave and putting on a brave face. But I can honestly tell you, most of the time, if we have a snake anywhere nearby, we are all quite fearful and we're actually doing a lot to try and, you know, counter it.
Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales, spitball in cricket. Who knew? When we come back, this is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.